Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission sponsored studios. This is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
I believe we're going to have a good week here, Super Day.
I do too. Feeling it already.
Yeah, this is Holy Week. It's a big week.
My favorite.
Why is that?
It's our faith. It's Christ. I mean, the sadness of what's happening at the end of this week, but we get to Resurrection Sunday, and boom, that is everything. And the joy that is faith, that it's all of it. It's beyond hope. I know people look forward to Christmas and things of that nature, but this is so internal as far as reflective. And I love Easter. I absolutely love Easter.
Yeah, I like Christmas, but I love Easter.
Yeah.
I like Christmas, but I love Easter. Plus, we got enough stuff in our homes right now anyway.
So true.
We don't need more stuff, do we?
No, I don't. And I have confessed it here on the air. I do not need more stuff. I'm working on the stuff I got.
The interesting thing is Easter is a time for getting rid of.
Yeah.
It's a time for shedding what's holding us back. You know, I'm going to jump right in today to a text in Matthew chapter 21, because a lot of us maybe aren't familiar with what happens in Holy Week. We have a chronological book here that gives us evidence for what happened Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, which would have been the Lord's Supper. There would have been betrayal going on. We don't really know exactly when Judas stepped away from the disciples to go strike a deal. Could have been Wednesday, could have been Thursday. But this whole week is so powerful that some of the gospel accounts, one third of the teachings, come out of the final week of Jesus' life. It's a big deal, Boom Crew. So we are going to be with you this week. Who is we? Myself and Super Die are holding down the fort this week. We got some good news for you, Boom Crew.
Good morning.
Allie's on R&R. That's great. And Young Thunder has a little girl.
He does.
Young Thunder has a little baby girl. And we're going to bring him in later this week. We're going to let him announce the name of this little girl. But she's cuter than a bug's ear, let me tell you.
It's adorable.
Boy.
So cute.
What a cutie pie. So what happened after the triumphal entry? Triumphal entry was awesome. And just a quick flyby on that. He grabbed a little foal, a donkey, and as predicted and prophesied in Zechariah 9, verse 9, he climbed up on that little donkey and he ascended into Jerusalem. Palm branches were laid before him. Were multitudes, according to the Luke account in chapter 19. That means many, many people were worshiping him. A lot of those fans would not ultimately become followers, as is the case. But many did. The Pharisees saw the raucous and the praise and the worship and declaring him as king, and they told him, "Shut your people up." He said, if I get them to be quiet, even these rocks are going to cry out. You know, the very next sentence we find in Luke 19 is that he looked at the Jerusalem, the city, and he wept. So a little backstory here as we head into Holy Week. You know, if we have a posture of humility and praise when even others walk away, and a heart of compassion for our city, we're going to be on good ground, holy ground. That's what followers of Jesus do. Posture of humility, praise when even others walk away, and a heart of compassion for our city. I know it's easy to have fear. I know it's easy to have anger. I get that. But followers of Jesus have a different approach. Holy Week, we're going to have an incredible time here together. We've got the whole week mapped out for us. You know who did the show prep for this week? Ready for this? Jesus did.
Great answer.
He gave us all the show prep we need for this
yes,
week.
He did.
We don't need any more show prep. I get it right here. Right here. You hear this? That's my Bible. That's our show prep. It's quite a manual, by the way.
Amen. No argument here.
It works. So coming up here in a moment, I want to take you to what happened on Monday. The triumphal entry was yesterday. Jesus most certainly would have gone back to Bethany, cut some Z's, got up the next day, came back into the temple. What did he see and what did he do? We'll get into that. This is CC Winans. I've got joy. Good morning. Holy Week, guys. We're going to be prepped and ready to go this weekend.
Discipleship to start your day. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
It's Carl and Crew Mornings. We're going to have a phenomenal Holy Week together, a week of preparation when we allow God to work in our hearts in such a way that we arrive at Good Friday and the Sunday celebration of the empty tomb. And we've got joy in our heart. Got joy in our heart. We're not walking in perfection, but we've cleaned out some of those things in our life, altered some thinking, changed some behaviors by the power of God to really prep ourselves for Sunday. Can this be that week for you? It can. And you might have gotten up this morning feeling like, yeah, I've got things in my life that need to go, Carl. I want to give you a word of encouragement. Our God has the power to do in you what you can't do in yourself. Need you to hear me. Our God has the power to do in you what you can't do in yourself. Might be coming off of a weekend where you messed up. You screwed up. You took a spiritual chili dipper. This is a new day. New mercies. Clean slate. Ready to go. Now, don't muster all the willpower and self-help you can gather up. Rather, lean into the Lord and let Him work. Let me give you a passage of scripture that we're going to focus on today, because the Monday after the triumphal entry, Jesus came back to Jerusalem and he walked right into the temple. In Matthew 21, verse 12, we find this, and Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called the house of prayer,' but you've made it a den of robbers." So what's going on here? Pigeons, doves, there were sacrifices that were being sold. And by the way, practically so, people had sojourned to Jerusalem for the purpose of making sacrifice. Now, they brought coins with them from pagan cultures, so those needed to be exchanged for a temple tax that would be in the right monetary system, so there had to be money changers. But something happened. What was once necessary now became essential. It became more about the sacrifices than the house of prayer itself. And it became an impediment to a lot of people that were coming to worship from afar. People were impeded to really seek the face of God and know His mercy because there was so much dust being kind of stirred up in the temple courts over walking through the religious practice. And no doubt there would have been scamming going on and probably prices that were increased on pigeons and doves. And they had a captive audience, so maybe they thought they could get away with it. But it leads me to an interesting question that I'm going to ask you to call in and respond to. Now, as we're going to see here later on in the show today, our body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit, which has huge implications for what would Jesus come and flip over in your life today. We'll get to that. But our houses of worship are the closest thing that we have to what would have been temple worship at that time. And the simple question I have for you today is, how can we make our places of worship more accessible to anyone, removing any impediments to come? Think about that a second. I don't have all the ideas in my mind. I'm leaning on you, Boom Crew. But I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this through the eyes of your leadership at your church or what you've thought. We live in a world today that has certain perceptions about houses of worship. Even the best Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches worship and filled with the Holy Spirit. A lot of people have thinking that Maybe it's not accessible. I know Satan's planted a lot of those seeds in minds. I know that we're in a battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's true. Thomas Aquinas, who penned those words and that systematic theology back in 1200 and some, he pinned it down. That's true. But what can we do? What can we do to remove any barriers to worship for all peoples? I want you to think about that right now. Think about that. What can we do to remove barriers so that people can feel free to come to houses of God? And I want you to get creative with this, and then I want you to call me. I know it's early, but I'm asking you to get on the horn and call right now. 312-274-9624. I'll give it to you again. What can we do to remove any barriers? What can we do to make it more accessible for people to come and worship at houses of worship? 312-274-9624. I want you to pick up the phone and call right now. I'm going to just take calls on this one. What can we do to make our houses of worship more accessible to anyone and everyone? 312-274-9624. I'll take your calls in just a couple of minutes. 312-274-9624.
Whether it's number 1 or 100, take that step with Jesus today. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
It's Holy Week. We're preparing ourselves for an incredible weekend, and we're going to walk through the chronology of events that happened in this Holy Week. And today we're talking about Jesus after the triumphal entry coming in to Jerusalem, and he pulled out a whip and he flipped over tables and he looked at the money changers and those that were selling pigeons and doves, and he said, "Get out of here. This is designed to be a house of prayer." And, you know, the question that some of you might have is, well, what does that mean? Remember, prayer was in the temple was the way people connected with and communicated with God. Now, we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, but houses of worship still represent this place where the people in the public, people in our cities, people in our towns and our burgs come and connect with God. We have it all the time at 180 Chicago, where people will wander in feeling like I'm crushed, I'm burdened, I need encouragement. Jesus removed the money changers and those selling pigeons and doves, not because they were doing wrong, but because that became the focal point of everything that was going on. We don't want to read too much into it, but the bottom line is this. It became a place of commerce where pagan coins were exchanged for temple tax coins, for sure. But then we've got probably some upcharges going on because people had to pay a premium. They couldn't carry, many of them could not carry these sacrifices to Jerusalem on their sojourn there. But a practical application of this is, what can we do in our churches to remove barriers, to make the gospel more accessible? What can we do to allow people to feel like there is no barrier for entry, no matter where you come from or where you are in life? What can we do? 312-274-9624. John in Venice, Florida. Good to have you with us, John. What do you say, brother?
Hey, Carl. Good morning. I think Jesus gave us the answer right there in the passage, and my house shall be a house of prayer. And our church down here in Venice, under some really cool circumstances, we're provided with some land to build a church in a very densely populated area of Venice. So, the harvest is white right now. And so it's prayer, Carl, plain and simple. We come out here every morning as we can, as this place is being constructed, and we're praying that the Lord of the harvest is preparing the hearts of everybody in the surrounding area, Venice, Northport, Inglewood, all of Sarasota County, to be hungry for the gospel.
Yes.
So, and then on the second part, and maybe even more importantly, that the Holy Spirit is preparing us at Grace Community Bible, preparing us to, number one, be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. So when people are drawn to Christ, we're able to give an answer and why Christ had to die and why it's so important. But then secondly, that we're prepared to disciple these new believers,
yes,
or newer believers. And so we're praying for a lot of heart prep on our part, too.
You know what, John? That is right on. Thanks for calling in, brother. John just nailed it, Boom Crew. One of the best things we can do to remove barriers of entry is praying for our hearts so that when people come in. In fact, bring John back up in the house. John, the beautiful thing with this is if we really seek the Lord and we begin to pray and talk with him, it'll prepare our hearts in a way that we'll be less inclined to be in our group with what is familiar. It'll open our hearts to newcomers. We'll have more of that compassion. Points of entry will be much more real for those that come in. Right, John?
Absolutely, Carl. And what we're finding individually as prayers, that we're being changed individually. So in getting back to this being Holy Week, and our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and what are some things that the Lord should, you know, we need to give over to the Lord to really,
yeah,
start making us serious. This whole prayer initiative has really helped, the Holy Spirit helped focus on what we need to change, and then, you know, we can be better prepared to go there for.
Amen.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely, John. That's a good word, man. Thank you for calling in, John from Venice, Florida. Good feedback today, guys. We're in Holy Week. We're prepping our souls for an incredible celebration this weekend. And God wants to do a work in your heart this week. He wants you to steam into Good Friday and then the great celebration on Sunday with hearts that are filled with joy and overflowing. And he can do it in you.
Giving hope directly from the source. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
Carl and Crew Mornings this week. We've got Allie out with some much-deserved vacation time with,
yes,
family.
Mm-hmm.
And Young Thunder had a baby girl.
She did arrive on Friday, but that's all we're going to say right now.
That's all we're going to say. We're let Young Thunder do the big reveal. We're going to have him call in this week, whether he wants to or not.
That's right. He'll probably be up.
He'll
Trust
be up.
Me.
He'll be up, so we're going to have him call in and do the big reveal,
yeah,
on the name. But the little bundle of joy has arrived, and she's cuter,
cutie,
than a bug's
cutie,
ear.
Cutie, yes, those cheeks.
Oh, my goodness. So we're going to celebrate that with Jonathan and Shannon here later on this week. We'll have them call in sometime this week. Keep it pinned right here. You never know when they're going to call in.
That's right.
It's going to be a sweet time. Asking you a question, what can we do to remove barriers of entry so that people come into our houses of worship and feel like they are accessible? There's no barriers to entry, no matter what age, stage, look, background people come from. What can we do to remove barriers of entry? Get creative. Ask the Spirit of God to prompt you. What do you think that is? And then give me a call right now, 312-274-9624. Let's go. It's your show, Boom Crew, 312-274-9624. Milton, first-time caller in Chicago. What do you say, Milton?
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
What I say in according to what the topic this morning is, we have to lose our vision when we walk into church. What do I mean by losing our vision? A lot of times when we walk in church, by the relationship that we have with the attendees, we tend to focus on their character versus focusing on God. Like, say, for instance, if you know this person over here is a gossiper, your first thoughts when you see that person is, oh, boy, I'm going to know about everybody's business because that's what this person does.
That's what they do.
You know? And so, yeah, what I mean by lose your vision, you have to lose your sight of that. And keep your focus on God, you know, and that way you can give yourself honestly and earnestly to God. You can let your cry out to his from your mouth and heart to his ear.
Yeah.
And he'll truly hear you, you know, but don't let that distraction take you where you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times people say, well, I'm not going to go to church until I'm ready. Well, you're never going to be ready, you know, but because they make that statement, it lets me know that they're focusing on the wrong thing. Because if you just embrace God and lose your vision.
Yeah.
And you can go forward from there.
Right on. Milton, I love that. And here's why, bro. Thanks for being a first-time caller. You know, Milton, I think sometimes we size people up, maybe what their reputation is in the community, maybe what they look like. And if people feel that for a second, we're in trouble, aren't we, Milton?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. Yeah, if we can. The interesting thing is Jesus accepted us just as we were. He didn't leave us as we were.
But there you go.
He accepted us as we were. And if we can be people that, I know it sounds like old wine. It's not. If we can accept people as they are, they have a greater shot of becoming a new person in Jesus Christ. And if the word on the street is that, Milton, Katie, bar the door. I'm telling you, we're going to see an increase of people that are waiting to hear what Jesus has to say to their soul. You're a good man, Milton. You're a good man. Stay on the horn, Milton. You didn't call in for this, but I'm giving you a Carl and Crew prize card today, my man.
There it is.
I receive it.
You got it. You got it. Give me a call, guys. What can we do to remove barriers to entry? 312-274-9624. So that people can come to houses of worship all around Chicagoland and beyond. 312-274-9624.
Helping you take the next step in your walk with Jesus. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
It's Carl and Crew Mornings on this Holy Week, asking a question that comes right out of Luke 19 and also in Matthew 21. He came in, told the money changers, told those selling pigeons and doves, we've created an obstacle here, a barrier for entry. Let's stop this. It's designed to be a house of prayer. What can we do in the local church to make it more accessible for people from every age and stage of life? It can be a scary thing, no matter how broken you are, to darken the door of a house of worship. What can we do? Michael in Munster, what do you say?
I've been a follower of Christ for, you know, a little bit over, you know, 4 or 5 decades.
Okay.
And being a part of the ministry, one of the things that I see in the ministry is that, well, first of all, those who are coming into the church, the first two individuals that they come in contact with is some churches have greeters, some have ushers.
Yes.
And those are the first individuals that they see.
Yeah.
And what I would love to see happen throughout the body of Christ is excessive training.
I'm with you.
You know, for those individuals, because those are the first individuals that they come in contact with. And sometimes that is the only Christ that they will ever see.
Yeah. It's a first impression.
And the ushers.
Yeah.
And being in, you know, and being, you know, even in the workplace, you know, I'm trained, retrained every, you know, so often. So
sure.
I would love to see that happen, you know, in the body of Christ.
Michael, that is a great insight, brother. Michael from Munster. Think about that. We get trained in the workplace. Michael's spot on and retrained.
Exactly.
And the first impression for a lot of people that come into our houses of worship are those first faces they see or the backs they see of people when they walk in.
So true. Right on, Michael.
Good word. Removing barriers of entry. I'm going to keep this going a little bit right now. We're going to keep it cooking. What are those barriers of entry that we need to remove so that people from every walk of life can come in and go, this is a place where I can find prayer, I can find help, I can find healing, I can find hope. What can we do? Think about it. Think broadly. And what's God's put on your heart this morning? 312-274-9624. Give me a call right now. We'll get you on air. 312-274-9624.
Whether it's number one or 100, take that step with Jesus today. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
It's Holy Week, man. The preparation that we have and the opportunity we have to prepare our hearts for an incredible celebration on Sunday that the tomb is empty, our God is alive, and He's alive in us is profound. We're looking at this passage in all four Gospels where Jesus came in on Monday morning after the triumphal entry. He came into the city and He walked right into the temple. And he flipped over the money changers' tables and those that were selling pigeons and doves, those sacrifices for all that had sojourned to Jerusalem for the Passover feast to make sacrifice. But it had been turned into a place of commerce and exchange and taking pagan coins and turning them into temple tax coins so that it was a good offering to God. All those things are real. But what happened here was it became an impediment to people who were coming, even Greeks, who were coming to worship God. And the focus was on the wrong thing. How do we know this? Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've turned it into a den of thieves and robbers." What can we do practically to remove barriers so that we're not impeding whosoever will may come to our houses of worship? 312-274-9624. What do you say? Bob, Lake in the Hills, what do you say?
Good morning. Actually, I've seen this kind of up close and personal. A lady in my small group has two autistic daughters. She herself has had some struggles with mental illness, and she's had a very, very hard time establishing even just a small group or support group for people with mental illness. The word that keeps coming up is liability. But she has said she's seen it, that there are many who are just, they just want to know there's a space where they can get support, deal with what they're dealing with. They're not asking for therapy. They're not asking for a cure. They just want to know that they're welcome. And there's been a lot of barriers to trying to get that established.
Yeah, one of the most amazing gifts that we can give people with mental illness, Bob, Lake in the Hills, thanks for calling in, my man, is love. Love is a powerful thing. To put a hand on a shoulder and look someone square in the eyes and say, "I love you," it's powerful. What can we do in the local church to remove barriers to entry in our houses of worship? Give us a call, 312-274-9624. Tabitha and Wheeling, what do you say, Tabitha?
Hi, Carl and crew. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
I was thinking, just from personal experience and from seeing people, I think we need to pray above all within ourselves and with the church together, with the governing body, pray for humility and compassion.
Amen.
To be able to be humble enough to not have that Christian, I call it that Christian pride that we seem to forget where we come from.
Yes.
And understand that if we don't want to go to their neighborhood, be humble enough that I don't want to go to that side of town. I don't want to go to that neighborhood. Don't expect them to come to Jesus' house because that's the image that we're giving them. That they're not good enough to come to our house. And that's just a bad look on us. So I would pray for humility and compassion above all.
Boom, Tabitha.
Wow.
Boom, sister.
Triple boom.
Thanks for calling in today, Tabitha.
Wow.
What do you say, Boom Crew? What barriers need to be removed so that people can come to our houses of worship? Tabitha just nailed that thing. 312-274-9624. Good feedback here today, Boom
Very
Crew.
Very much.
It's going to cause thousands of people to think differently, maybe act differently. 312-274-9624.
Start your day moving closer to Jesus. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
I got an honest text from someone here. I'm going to read it to you. Won't shout out number here, but I'll tell you how I responded. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." That's the problem, Carl, not the church. Actually, that was written to the church. The church was going to gather teachers that would just tickle their ears. But let's just say that did apply outside the church, because there's plenty of passages that were better than that one for those outside the church. To say that it's not the church's problem, it's their problem, that's the problem. That's the problem. Both are true. We live in a world with people that are shaking a fist at God, no doubt about it. But we need to be careful when we look at the world around us and we say, yeah, we've got nothing to learn here, because what Jesus taught the temple dwellers was that they had twisted what was intended to be a house of prayer into a den of thieves and robbers. And so we've got to have the courage to look at our own lives. Why? Because judgment begins in the house of God. Remember, Jesus did not come to condemn sinners. He came to condemn hypocrites and save sinners. It's a huge difference. And we have to embrace the reality of the Word of God. Why? Because it relates to you and me. So I appreciate that feedback, but you're a little off base there, my friend. The gathering people that want to tickle our ears was written to the church. That was the problem. And how we relate to the world, great opportunity to really love people well. 312-274-9624. What can we do to make our churches more accessible houses of worship? 312-274-9624. When we think about this, we've got a golden opportunity when we look at Holy Week. My goodness, we've got so many people that are going to potentially be coming on a Sunday. Let me give you one crazy stat that might blow your mind. Did you know that 85% of the people that are in your sphere of influence, if they were asked to come to church with you on a Sunday, 85% would say, yes, I'll go?
That's staggering.
Isn't that something?
That really is.
312-274-9624. What are the barriers to worship that we can put in place, remove that are in place to make our houses of worship more accessible? 312-274-9624. Ramel, first time caller in Chicago. What do you say, Ramel?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Carl. How are you this
morning?
Doing
great, brother. Thanks for calling in.
Amen, amen. Yes, I was listening to the program this morning, and it just struck my heart that, and you know what, there's a degree of conviction, you know, about the term that came to mind was like spiritual segregation going on in the church.
Yes.
And what I mean by that, you know, there are people in the church who have forgotten where they came from.
Yeah.
And you have new people coming into the church. And you know what? And like, what? Oh, but for the grace of God, you know what? That was me at one time.
Yeah.
And so many people forgot where they came from, and people come in and they look at this atmosphere, this almost like super spiritual atmosphere, like almost like, you know what? That cannot be attained. And I mean, it starts even like in the pulpit, where you find, you know what? You find like even pastors not being like honest with their congregation, where, you know what? They will confess upwards, but you know what, laterally and below, you know what, things that they're struggling with, they will not even mention it to the congregation. So people know, like, you know what, this guy is real. He's in the flesh. But they call the paint this picture that seems like unattainable, and people just walk away.
Yeah, there's some truth in that, Ramel. I'm telling you, we've got right on. First time caller, way to go, my man. You know what, I'm feeling in a happy mood. You stay on the horn, Ramel. We're going to get you a Carlin Crew prize pack. How's that sound,
there
my man?
Go.
You up for a Carlin Crew prize pack today?
I am. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thanks for blessing me every morning and going into work. Thank you so much.
You're a blessing, Ramel. Ramel brings up a good point. It's easy to forget that we wandered in somewhere sometime looking for love, acceptance, not acceptance of sin, but who we are and all that we're carrying so that we can walk free. And if we can remove barriers to entry for people into the house of worship, Katie, bar the door. But how does this passage of scripture relate to us since we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit? We'll talk about that coming up. Rejoice, man. Holy Week, an opportunity to prepare our hearts. A discipleship week to align our lives with God.
Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission sponsored studios, this is Carlin Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
This is Holy Week, an opportunity for us to be consecrated to God, to be set apart, cleared of the stuff that's holding us back from walking forward in victory. And we're going to do something really practical and powerful here in just a moment. But big announcement here. We got Allie out for a week, much deserved vacay with her family. And we've got Young Thunder with a baby girl. Yay! Guys. Woo-hoo! The little precious one has arrived. You might say, well, how many pounds and what's your name and all that? Yeah. Well, guess what? Jonathan's going to be calling in this week to give us the update on all that. And I'm going to let you him break the news to you. Precious name on this little child.
I know. She's so cute. These cheeks.
Little bright cheeks popping out there. Nothing like little bundles, huh?
Oh, I know. A little baby Ranky, though. And everybody's good. Shannon's, everybody's good.
Everybody's doing good. I think Young Thunder's struggling the most.
Well, probably.
Shannon's probably doing great. Baby's doing great. Jonathan's a mess.
Yeah, he's just a puddle. I'm sure he is.
You know it.
He is.
So celebrate it, guys. There's new life all around us here. Well, we're going to get really personal, really practical. In Matthew 21, and I'm going to look at this narrative. Let me read this to you. We're going to be looking all week long. We're going to be marking time. This is going to be fun, isn't it? Super Day marking time through Holy Week.
I'm really liking this. Yes, very much.
So yesterday, triumphal entry. Today, what did Jesus do when he came into Jerusalem? Well, he opened a can of whoop booty. He opened a can of whoop booty.
Yes,
he did. I mean, here's what we find in Matthew 21. And Jesus entered, this is on Monday, the temple. Some translations are temple of God. It's the temple. It's the place where they came, where God's presence dwelled in the Holy of Holies, and people could come and seek him, find comfort, refuge, prayer. And he drove out, Jesus did, and all who sold and bought in the temple, cleared it out. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and seats of those who sold pigeons. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. Why is this so important? Because what God intended, man screwed up. By the way, that citation is from Isaiah 56, verse 7. God's temple was to be a place of prayer. What was prayer? Prayer was a place where people could come and hear from God. It started way back with Moses in the wilderness. He went to the tent of meeting to meet with God. A temple was built, and there everyone could come and meet and hear from God. But something happened. The temple had been made into a place of commerce, where pigeons and doves were sold at a high price for those that had sojourned there. Jews and Gentiles alike could come and worship God, but now it had been impeded. Why? Because it's common that things are going to attempt to nudge out what is most important. Now, the house of God, our places of worship, as we call them, all around Chicagoland and around the world. And this Sunday is going to be loaded with people who show up. But what is the real temple? This is what we find in 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. Flee sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits outside his body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. So he's dealing with a culture that is wrestling big time with sexual sin. And verse 19 says this, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. You're not your own. So glorify God in your body. If you take a look at Jesus clearing the temple, the best, straightest line of application of this text is simple. What does God want to clean out of your life today? This is Holy Week. We've got an opportunity to celebrate on Sunday. Woo! What's cluttering your ability to worship God fully because there's something that needs to be consecrated before God. Something can't take the trip. Maybe it's more than one thing, but I want you to do this right now. Let the Lord speak into your life today. Let Him find a soft place in your soul where you can be honest to God and say to God, God, if my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, this is something in my life that can't take the trip. I cannot take hold of the promises that you have for me if this persists in my life. You know what it is because the Holy Spirit indwells you and He convicts you. And when I say, what's that one thing that's standing in the way of everything in your relationship with God, you know it. So what is it? Here's what I want you to do, because I'm going to pray for you at the bottom of this hour. I'm asking you with one or two words, not more than two words, three max. What are those things that can't make the trip? What does God want to clean out in your life? Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you know that God's Spirit is speaking to you right now, and you know exactly what it is. Text those things to me. I will not read out your number, and I will be reading out many vices, issues, things that people have that are impeding your ability to walk in abundant living with Jesus Christ. Let's be really practical. What does God want to clean out of your life? First one I just got in is gambling. What is it for you? I'm going to read these out at the bottom of this hour, near the bottom of the hour, and I'm going to pray. Now is your time. One of the first breakthroughs we can have is first to have it illuminated by the power of the Holy Spirit. We see it and then own it, confess it, bring it before God. 312-274-9624. 312-274-9624. Text them in right now. We'll pile them up. And I'm going to read these out near the end of this half hour, and then I'm going to pray for every one of you today. This is Holy Week. This is an opportunity for us to come clean with God and let Him clean us out in one, two, no more than three words so that I can see them and read them. What is God wanting to clean out of your life in this week? 312-274-9624. Just text me those two or three words, and I'll read them out. We will pray together for you. And that's coming up.
Going deeper in our relationship with Jesus. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
Coming up in just a few minutes, I'm going to be praying for you today. And this Holy Week, we've got a golden opportunity. Jesus walked into the temple and He flipped over the money changers' tables, those that were selling pigeons and doves, sacrifices. It was Passover, but the house of the temple designed for prayer had been cluttered with other things. The most direct application is because of what we find in 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? Without condemnation, but with full conviction, what does God want to clean out of your life? 312-274-9624. The Holy Spirit's convicted you of it. You know it. You've got it. In one, two, or three words, give them to me in text. I will not shout out your number. I do not know who you are, but God does. Seeing it is a good thing. Agreeing with God that it is a thing is a powerful thing. Text me. I'm going to read them out, and then we are going to pray. 312-274-9624. What does God want to clean out of your life? You know it right now, right when I say it. You know that one thing that's holding you back from everything. 312-274-9624.
Start your day moving closer to Jesus. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
This is beautiful. This is what we're called to do and be. I know it's unusual Christian radio. We're asking you to text in the answer to this question. What does God want to clean out of your life so that you can worship Him? I mean, this is Holy Week. This is an opportunity for us to do business with God. This is when disciples of Christ are at their best. We're letting the Holy Spirit search us and know us and try us and see if there's any hurtful way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. Whoa. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. I asked you to send in to me in one, two, or three words, what are those things that you know God is saying to you? Got to clean them out. We're going to pray right now. Let me list these for you, and then we'll go to prayer here. Alcohol, gambling, unforgiveness, food, gluttony, compromising music, sexual immorality and thoughts of it, pride, self-control, unforgiveness, lust, pornography, anger, pornography, self-centeredness, lustful spirit. Just reading them as they're coming to me here, guys. And there's a ton of them, so hold on. Fear, anger, grief, loneliness, alcohol, unhealthy eating, health fears, overeating, clutter, stuff, living with boyfriend, anger, alcohol and pornography, fear, my sensual sin, idols, procrastination and fear, impure sexual thoughts, pornography, betrayal, bitterness, distraction, people-pleasing, insecurities, overspending, lust, bitterness, anger, bad eating habits, clutter in my mind, fear, need to be in control, pornography, pride, anger, too much TV, trusting idols, racism, lust, anger, late night eating, fear, lack of confidence, secrets, distractions, fornication, anger, too many sweets, pornography, fear, anger, idolizing workouts, clutter, negative thoughts, anger, bitterness, apathy, selfishness, lack of healthy relationships, worry, unforgiveness, vanity, pornography, spiritual ruts, fear, control, casual dating, self-centeredness, clutter, anger, bitterness, envy. These are all you, Boom Crew. These are all you. And I'm marching on, and we got a ton of them here. Porn, lust of the flesh, toxic relationships, pride and judgment, envy, procrastination, pride, greed, shame, jealousy, aloneness, clutter, fear, judgmentalism. Minimizing God's power, house and life clutter, anger over past experiences, clutter, focus on self, anger, bitterness. Somebody just said so much. God sees that. Lust, abuse, fear, TV, technology, fear and indecision, twisted sex, critical thinking, gluttony, clutter, and coveting. God, we bring them before you. You are holy. You are mighty. You are powerful. Your kids have seen it, and they're owning it. And there's so many more that can't even get to a phone to text in right now, but Lord, you see them all. Across Chicagoland, around the United States, and around the globe. And I thank you that you are mighty, and that although we are the temple of the living God, Lord, we do not have to be bound by these things. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I pray in Jesus' name, your Spirit, to fill these men and women with truth that will liberate them, with hope. God, bring people into their path that will give them the wisdom and the encouragement to not only stand strong in Jesus, but to get rid of stuff that can't take the trip of where you want to take us. Lord, I pray too right now, because of that, I pray that our eyes will be fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him scorned all the mocking of the cross, and he won this race. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Father, I pray that because of that, we will throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles our life, and that we will run today. I pray over every man and woman that had the courage to text in today. God, free them from condemning thoughts. Free them from all forms of condemnation. But God, give them all the conviction that's needed to break free. And as we pray, God, I know that you are going to work right now. You are the God of the heavens. You put the stars in space. Your vastness, your power, God, we don't minimize it today. So we come to you in prayer believing that you can set us free by your power. We are tired of wrestling in our own strength to get these things out of our life. But Lord, we praise you that in our weakness, you are strong. And so God, I pray that everyone listening to me right now would embrace their weakness and their inability to get junk out of their life. And they would see your immense ability to do what we cannot do. And I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And let it be. Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.